Well, good morning again. I invite you to take a Bible, and the first passage that we'll look at will be Amos chapter 3. If you'd like to open to Amos chapter 3, open or scroll or tap or however it is that you reach passages of Scripture in our digital age. I do want to mention again how good it is to be here, how thankful I am for the opportunity. I appreciate the confidence that you've placed in me and extending the invitation for me to come and to spend these next few days with you in the study of God's Word. I was thinking back, it was almost 12 years ago, the last time I was in a series like this with the congregation here. 2012, Steve and I were just talking about how our kids have changed since then. They've got 5, and we've got 6, and some of them are similar in age, and it's just hard to imagine that they were just tiny in that last meeting when I was here, and now we're getting into teenage years with those that were younger, and all of these things are rapidly changing, and that's the way that life goes, and that's as it should be, and we're thankful for that, but it's just amazing to think of how time goes by. And our purpose here in this world is not to stay here forever. Our purpose in this world is to prepare for what comes after this. And that's why we're followers of Jesus, because we know that there is a hereafter. There are promises that the Lord has made. He has shown us the way, and we are engaged in preparation for eternity. And that's why we're doing what we're doing this week. This is part of our preparation for eternity, preparing ourselves and trying to help others get prepared as well, as we have this series of lessons and we're able to invite others who maybe have not heard or who have not yet obeyed the gospel to come and listen to the Word of God. I appreciate those who have put forth efforts in various ways already this morning in leading us in our worship and showing reverence to our God. And as we continue in our worship this morning, we're going to look into the Word of God and study from it. And as is always the case, if there's anything that is said on my part that raises questions in your mind, or anything that you look at and you say, well, I'm not sure about that, well, ask me. Now, let's talk about that more. If you'd like to study more, we can arrange to do that. We can find the answers in God's Word. And so please bring anything to my attention that is either not clear or that you have questions about, anything along those lines. I'd be happy to discuss those things with you. What have you done right? What have you done right? As we begin to think about that question this morning, let me start by pointing out that the truth is that many people do not do what is right. For example, as we look at our passage in Amos chapter 3 and verse 10, God's estimation of the people of Israel during the time of the prophet Amos is as follows. Amos 3 and verse 10, "For they do not know to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces." To do right is to follow after that which is true, to practice that which is proper, to do that which is upright in the sight of God. The Israelites in the days of Amos, they didn't do what was right, but notice, they didn't even know to do right, because they weren't interested in following that which was true. They weren't interested in practicing what was approved and proper. Now, in the same manner, many people today have very little interest in learning what is right and in putting forth the effort to actually do what is right. Let's understand something about that. It is God's Word that determines what is right. You remember what the situation was back in the days of the judges? We have this statement at the end of that book in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We have to recognize that there is a world of difference between doing what is right in the eyes of man versus doing what is right in the eyes of God. The only way that we can know for certain whether or not our attitudes, our actions, our conduct, whether or not any of that is right, is to measure ourselves by the perfect standard, which is the Word of God. Proverbs 14 reminds us and warns us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14, verse 12, the same thing is repeated in Proverbs 16 and verse 25. Twice that statement is included in the book. It's important that we recognize it may seem right, it may feel right to me as an individual, as a human being. It doesn't mean that it is right. God's Word determines what's right. Psalm 19 points this out to us. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise a simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's Word is right. And you may recall what Jesus said in John chapter 8. In John 8, in verses 31 and 32, we read, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" His Word is the truth. His Word is right. Man has his opinions as to what is right for him to do. But God's Word is the absolute standard of what is really right. Now, what I want to say to you today is that if you are a Christian, according to what the Bible says concerning being a Christian, if you are a Christian, then you have done what is right. Do you ever feel like you just can't do anything right? You ever have those kind of feelings? You ever have one of those days? Right? You wake up in the morning and you go into the kitchen and you get your glass of water, and before you can even put it to your mouth, it slips out of your hand and you drop it and it spills all over the floor and you got to clean the mess up. And then it's time to leave and you go outside and you step out into your driveway and there's your neighbor, and your neighbor says, "Hey, how are you?" And you say, "Not much." It's not how that's supposed to go, right? And then you get in your car, and you start the car, and you start to back out of the driveway, and as you're backing out of the driveway, it slips your mind that the garbage cans are there. You know, you had to put them out for the pickup and back right into the garbage cans. And then you drive to work, and you get there, and you realize it's your day off. You ever have that? You just feel like you can't do anything right. Everything just kind of goes wrong. I just can't get it right. Most of us can probably identify with the idea of feeling that we can't do anything right at times. But here's the thing. If you are a Christian, according to the Bible's definition of a Christian, then you have done what is right. Now, there are hundreds of other things in life that you can't control. I can't control things that don't go our way. But isn't it a comfort to know that if you're a faithful Christian, the truth of the matter is that when it comes down to that which is most important, you've gotten it right. You've gotten it right. So, let's think about this for a few minutes this morning. What have you done right? Sometimes we just need to stop and realize what it is that we've done right. You know, all these things can go wrong in our lives. All these things can get out of control and can be overwhelming. We need to stop and think about what have we gotten right? If you're a Christian, consider with me this morning what you have done right. Now, first of all, you've believed in the right Lord. And that matters because there are actually many lords to whom people submit. You know, many people submit themselves to the false gods of Hinduism or Islam or Buddhism, or various pagan religions that are out there. There are millions of people in our world that submit themselves to these other lords different from the God that we read about in the Bible. And in our present culture, you might say, well, we don't have a lot of that around here, people worshiping all these other gods. Well, in our culture here, you know, many people set up money, possessions, power, or even fame as the idol before whom they bow. You see, your Lord is the one in whom you place your trust. The one whom you obey, that's your Lord. Think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 in verse 16. He says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? We're submitting ourselves to someone or something. Even those who disavow any belief in God, even those who bow at the altars of evolutionism or humanism, they have a Lord they seek to serve. What they've done is they have taken man and they have made man's intellect the measure of all things. So there are lots of different lords people submit to. Whatever one's idols may be, the prophet Isaiah well sums up the situation in Isaiah 41 in verse 24. Regarding all of that kind of thing, notice what the prophet says, indeed you are nothing and your work is nothing. He who chooses you is an abomination. That's true of choosing any Lord other than the true Lord and God of heaven. But you know, if you're a Christian, you've believed in the right Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul rightly points out that in spite of man's tendency to submit himself to various gods and various lords, the truth of the matter is that there is only one right Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, picking up in verse 4, Paul writes, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live. As the Son of God walked the earth, over and over again, He affirmed his place as the only right Lord and Master for man. You think about what he said in John chapter 8 in verse 24. John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." And He's the only one who can save you. And think about this. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's no other way. He is the Lord. He is the way. In Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's the one true Lord. He invites us to come to Him. And if you're a Christian this morning, you need to take heart in understanding that of all the lords in whom you could have chosen to believe and in whom you could have placed your trust and who you could have chosen to follow, of all those different lords out there, you have believed in the right Lord. Now, let's think about this. What have you done right? What else have you done right? Well, you have, if you're a Christian, you've obeyed the right plan of salvation. The right plan of salvation. You know, there are many different plans people choose to follow. Man is constantly seeking some kind of fulfillment, some kind of satisfaction to fill the void in life. Proverbs 27 and verse 20 speaks to this. The wise man says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Everybody's looking for something. Everyone out there is trying to fill that void, trying to fill that hole. People try to find salvation in drugs and alcohol. People try to find fulfillment in engaging in sexual immorality. People try to fill that void up with money through greed and covetousness and materialism. And there are a host of other things and other ways people try to fill that void. None of those things will bring lasting contentment. Others, understanding that their need is a spiritual need and a need for a relationship with God, will go in search of fulfilling that need only to come up short because they have settled for the wrong message. They've listened to the wrong plan, the wrong teaching. They look to a pope to absolve them of their sins. Or they'll say a sinner's prayer that they've been told will result in their salvation. Or they'll succumb to the notion that all they have to do is just believe in Jesus and be saved by faith alone. The Apostle Paul warned of those who would present a twisted plan of salvation, one that would not save at all. This is the passage that was read for us earlier in our assembly this morning. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. What does the Apostle Paul say? "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel," which is not another. "But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." There are a lot of different plans out there New ones all the time that people are coming up with. If you're a Christian, then you have obeyed the right plan of salvation. You know, the simple truth is that most people who claim to be Christians have never actually done what the Bible says a sinner must do in order to be saved, in order to become a Christian. That's the great tragedy in our world today. The Lord and His apostles delivered the gospel plan with which sinners must comply in order to be saved. And that plan makes the terms that sinners must meet very plain for all to see. All we have to do is look at what the New Testament says. In Mark 16, after Jesus' death and resurrection, in verses 15 and 16, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Have you believed in Jesus as the Son of God? Have you been baptized into Christ? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, as that gospel message was preached in its fullness for the first time, Acts 2 and verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Have you heard the message? Have you repented of your sins and been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? In Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you believe in the resurrected Lord? Did you confess your faith in Christ when you were baptized into Christ? Did you do as the Apostle Paul did? When here as Saul of Tarsus in the city of Damascus, he was told by the preacher Ananias, according to Acts 22 and verse 16, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Did you do that? Were you baptized into Christ, having your sins washed away by the Lord? Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian, if you've done that, you need to take heart in understanding that in spite of all the various plans out there that men have devised, you have obeyed the right plan given by God that results in salvation. You've gotten that right. Now, another thing that we need to think about when we think about what you've done right is that if you're a Christian, you have been added to the right church. And again, as we think about the religious world around us, there are many different kinds of churches out there. For many centuries, those who claim to follow Jesus have been busy dividing themselves up into various religious organizations and groups that each teach and practice different things, contradicting one another and contradicting the Word of God. Even though the Lord demands unity among His followers, even though He demands that we all adhere to one Lord, and one God, and one faith. Even though He demands that we recognize that there is one body, man continues to act as though our options are virtually unlimited. And yet the Bible still says in Ephesians 4, in verses 4 through 6, there is one body. One Spirit, just as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. There aren't many different quote-unquote Christian faiths out there to choose from. There's one faith. And there's one body. And yet as we look around in the world today, we see hundreds and hundreds of different denominations that are in existence, with new ones popping up all the time. And along with that, we've got the various community churches and mega churches and these so-called non-denominational churches that become miniature denominations unto themselves. And in this sea of religious confusion and division, man's plea is to do what? You just join the church of your choice. But you know what? If you are a Christian, according to what the Bible says about a Christian, then you have been added to the right church. In spite of what may be popular today, the Bible still assures us that Jesus is head of only one church. He is the Savior of a single body. In Colossians 1 and 18, Paul says of Jesus, and He is the head of the body, the church. You see the singular nature of those terms? Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Ephesians 5 in verse 23 says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Singular. Singular. If you have obeyed the gospel, here's the thing. If you have obeyed the gospel, then you have been added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself. You have been added to that one body if you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, that's what we read in Acts chapter 2. We read earlier how Peter and the other apostles commanded the people to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice verse 41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Well, what's that mean? What does he mean, added to them? Well, we skip down to the end of the chapter. A few verses later, verse 47 says they were praising God and having favor with all the people. Notice this. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Who does the adding? The Lord does. Who does He add? Those who are being saved. Well, who are the ones that are being saved? Those are the ones that obey the gospel. Now, it's also true that after you obey the gospel, you need to actively fulfill your responsibility to work and worship with a local church, with a group of those saved people that is adhering to the Lord's pattern. But here's what we're talking about. If you are a Christian, again, according to what the Bible says about that, if you are a Christian, you need to take heart in understanding that in spite of all these various religious groups and organizations out there that man has created, in spite of all that confusion, in spite of all that division, you need to take heart in the fact that as a Christian, you have been added to the right church, the one that belongs to Jesus Christ. What have you done right? Well, something else to consider is that as a Christian, you have chosen to live the right kind of life. There are lots of different ways people choose to live. And maybe you're used to associating with God's people. Maybe you've got good godly friends. I hope that's the case. Sometimes we can be insulated a little bit and not realize all of what goes on out there. But let me tell you something. There are a lot of different ways people choose to live. And without a doubt, one of the most popular ways of approaching life is certainly not to follow the will of God, and instead to do what? To do whatever you feel like doing. Prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 18, wrote of those who approach life this way. Jeremiah 18 and verse 12. Here's the thought process. And they said, that is hopeless when it comes to following God's will and His Word. That is hopeless. So we will walk according to our own plans. And we will everyone obey the dictates of his evil heart. Well, that's the approach to life a lot of people out there are taking day in and day out. We live in a culture in which we've been taught that we are nothing more than highly evolved animals, and that survival is for the fittest, and that it's a dog-eat-dog world. And you know what? That teaching has taken hold. And many people choose to live out exactly what they've been taught by doing what? By acting like animals. By trampling underfoot anyone who gets in their way, anything that might prevent them from getting what they want has to be pushed aside, and anyone who might prevent them from getting what they want has to be stepped on or stepped over. The Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, spoke of scoffers. He says, walking according to their own lusts. See, that's the way it is. That's exactly the way many have chosen to live their lives. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it however I feel like it. I don't care about how you feel about it or what you think. I'm going to do what I want to do because this is what makes me feel good at the time. And so I'm going to do it the way I feel like doing it. But you know, if you're a Christian, you haven't chosen to do that, to live like that. If you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have chosen to live the right kind of life. Jesus taught that the highest and the best life that one can live is a life that shows the proper attitude of reverence toward God and the proper respect toward one's fellow man. When Jesus was questioned concerning the great commandment in Matthew 22 and verses 37 through 39, Jesus said to him, to the one who questioned him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." That's the way to live. Rather than believing that we can do whatever we feel like, and rather than behaving like a bunch of greedy, entitled animals, the Lord says we're to treat others the way we would want to be treated ourselves. In Luke 6 and verse 31, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." You see how different that is from how most people are living their lives? Instead of walking according to our own fleshly lust, the Lord tells us that we're supposed to be bringing forth what is called the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Verses 22 and 23, the Lord's inspired apostle says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." If you're a Christian, you need to take heart and understanding. In spite of the way that those around us have chosen to live, You, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have chosen to live the right kind of life in this world. What have you done right? Well, if you're a child of God, let's think about the fact that you have set your mind on the right goal. Now, there are a lot of goals that people set, many things that people look forward to. And for so many in our world today, the ultimate goal is what? Think about it. The ultimate goal is to get rich. The ultimate goal is to be somebody in the world's estimation, right? The goal is to get that dream house, or to drive that dream car, or to get whatever other earthly thing or possession it is that you so desperately desire with all your heart. That's the goal. That's the goal for so many. And then as their number one goal, so many take aim at things like accumulating wealth. Maybe it's retiring early. Maybe it's becoming famous. Maybe it's fulfilling whatever worldly pleasure I think I want to indulge in. All the while, the advice of the Scriptures on the matter is pushed aside. It's ignored. And the material goals are pursued with all kinds of passion and devotion. In 1 Timothy 6, the Apostle Paul had something to say about that, didn't he? 1 Timothy 6, we'll read verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and in a many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Is that what you want? Is that how you want it to go? You want to end up in perdition and destruction? You want to pierce yourself through with many sorrows? Well, no, we don't want that. If you're a Christian, you've set your mind on a different goal. You set your mind on the right goal. In Colossians chapter 3, while the world is out pursuing those things that don't last, while the world is out there hyper-focused on accumulating all that stuff that's going to be burned up in the end anyway, what's the Christian focused on? In Colossians 3, notice beginning in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Paul goes on to say, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. That's where the Christian's mind is focused. That's where the Christian is placing the most emphasis. That's where the goal is for the child of God. Jesus said that our treasure is to be laid up in heaven, where there's a permanent reward, not like the things that are here in this world that don't last. In Matthew 6, verses 19 and 20, he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And then verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For the faithful Christian, The hope of heaven. The hope of heaven outweighs and overshadows anything and everything this temporary world has to offer. If you are a Christian today, you need to take heart in the understanding. Even though you may have your sights set on a very different goal from those in the world around you, the reality is that you have decided to set your mind on the right goal. The right goal. And don't ever let anybody make you feel ashamed for that. It's not about the here and now. It's about the glory that God has promised to those who are in Christ. What have you done right? You know, there may be a lot of things that are wrong in our world today, and surely there are. And there may be a lot of times that we feel like we just can't really do much of anything right. But if you are a faithful child of God, you need to know that you have already gotten the most important things right. Because you've already believed in the right Lord. You've already obeyed the right plan of salvation, and your sins are forgiven through Christ. You've already been added to the right church, the one the Lord established. You've chosen already to live the right kind of life following Jesus, and you've got your sights set on the right goal. Eternity in the Father's house. Isn't it encouraging to know that even in the midst of the madness, our loving God has made it so abundantly clear as to what we are supposed to do? And He's made it so completely possible and within our reach to get it right. If you would, take out your songbook and open to the song that's been selected for us to sing as a song of encouragement and invitation. I thank you for how you have listened and participated and followed along and engaged as we have studied from God's Word together this morning. As we bring this lesson to a close, we don't want to do so without extending the Lord's invitation. Because there may be some here among us right now who have not yet gotten it right. Maybe you haven't made that decision yet. Or maybe you know what you're supposed to do, but you haven't done it. And so I want to ask you that question. Have you done what is right based on what the Bible says? We read earlier what needs to be done in order to be saved if you are yet in your sins, separated from the Lord. I took a glance back here earlier and there is water behind me. If you need to come and confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, turn from your sins and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, that possibility, that option is open for you now. We would love to help you to do that if that's your need. And if you've already done that, but as we've been talking about all these things concerning being a Christian this morning, you have come to the realization that, well, that was me. I was there at one point, but I've strayed. Well, we need to get that corrected. We need to take care of that. And we need to do it on the Lord's terms. As John says in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And so maybe as a child of God, you need to confess your sins. Maybe you need to make correction. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation here and encouragement. If you have any of those spiritual needs, if you want to make sure that you're getting it right, then won't you come down to the front now while we stand and while we sing?
Will you come with your poor broken heart, burdened and said oh prayers, lay it down at the feet of your Savior and Lord, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Trust in faith, Jesus will give you rest.
Will you come?
There is mercy for you.
Come for your aching breast.
Oh, my Jesus, our Lord,
He is every man. Jesus will give you rest.
Oh, happy rest.
Sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? Now He pleads with you now. Fly to His loving breast. And whatever your sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.
We thank Brother David and Dan for the Bible class and the sermon of the hour. Both very great studies. Really enjoyed them. One, to increase our confidence and trust in the Lord, to keep our eyes focused on Him in the difficulties of life. And the other lesson, to remind us, though, there may be things amiss in our life or things that are not right. Isn't it good to know that the things that actually matter the most, you have right if you are a Christian? Great reminder of those things. Look forward to the study tonight. We'll invite everybody back. 6 o'clock, we'll have our lesson for tonight. And then Monday through Friday will be 7 o'clock each night. Micah mentioned to me that her and Jeff will be taking off this afternoon, and so we want to wish them well. It's been good to have them visiting with us these many months here. I know they got a surprise wedding out of the whole ordeal, but we're thankful for them, thankful for their family, and do be safe as you go on your trip. Number 518 will be our closing song. 518. Sing the first and third verse and then you need to submit to prayer.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior in need, taking our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light. Stepping in the light, how beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward shall upward will follow our God. When we shall see in the King in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior,
led in paths of life.
Appreciate it.
Our last
time. Go home and charge. What was it down to?
I don't know.
2%?
It was 60 when we started.
Hi. Good job. Thank you. How you doing?
Isaiah, one of our new Christians here.
Isaiah.
He's been growing a lot.
Good. You've gotten some things right, haven't you?
Yeah. His family isn't, you know, but they don't. They allow him to come and be with us, and that's good.
Yep.
He's always trying to spread the word to his family and friends.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right, man. You did good.
He's been visiting with us for a few months now as well, too.
He's a guy. I'm a new guy.
He's a good
new
guy.
Good
to see you, Paul.
That was good.
Awesome. Thank you.
We'll see you in a little bit.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Now we got our brother. Tennessee, when he was 13. And I'll try to get him to go to church. I go to Brentwood down there.
Uh-huh.
And he'll go, but here lately he hasn't been.
Know each other.
How old is he?
13.
Yeah.
Old different. Well, he's a lot different than me.
How old are you?
16.
Okay. Well, he's looking at you, though. I mean, you're setting the example, right? You're his big brother, so just keep being consistent. He's going to see that. It may take a little while, but yeah.
No, I didn't know I had a brother. I didn't know I had a brother from my dad until he passed away in 2020. I'm like,
oh, okay. So you didn't grow up together. Okay. Yeah.
Such a very, very good sermon.
Thank you, Nancy.
Very,
appreciate that.
Very good. When I saw your title, I thought I'd leave that because sometimes I just say, dear God, show me something I've done wrong. And when I saw the title, I thought, thank you.
There you go.
But it was really good.
Thank you.
Good sermon. I enjoyed that.
Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Charla Palmer.
Charla, yeah. I saw you back there and I thought, that's Charla?
Yes. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Are you still in Florida?
Where do you live now?
I'm in Georgia.
Which part?
Athens.
Oh, where the college is?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Is that the Bulldog people?
That's right, the Bulldog people, yeah. Watch out.
I know. I still love it. Hey, I'll see you there. They're still in the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to, I'm still a Gator fan.
I thought that was the case.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's a nice area of the country, though, seriously. Yeah. Georgia. I'm in the South now still. It's colder here.
So you're here. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my husband was unfaithful after 40 years. I found out. Yeah. So that is still my problem till. What would be the rest of my problem the rest of my life? And it's taking a toll on the family. You know how it goes.
I'm sorry. So you moved to this area? You moved up from Tampa to here?
In 2021, we broke out our household in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I went straight to my home. Where would you go, right? If you're a woman, you go straight to your parents. So they sheltered me for 9 months, sheltered my heart, you know, helped me get my feet back on the ground. Then I decided, both my children live in Bowling Green. So I just decided to kind of break the difference. My parents are in Clarksville.
Okay.
Or Chris Reeves.
Right, right.
And then both my kids and my grandkids are in Bowling Green.
Okay.
So I just settled here. In between.
Well, that's good. It's good to be near family, right? That's what you need.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm getting there. You know, it's a transition.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Good seeing you, though.
It's good to see you, too.
I appreciate your diet. It's really interesting. Did your wife, I'm curious, did your wife write that memo, or did you write this?
I think I wrote this one. Yeah, I mean, I have to do it every time I go do a meeting.
Like
so, yeah, basically, yeah.
Because it was very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I like the part. Or just paleo. Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to. Trying to get by you.
Small shop is a side shoe store.
Well, maybe so. Maybe so. Which ones are shinier, though?
I know. See you later.
Hi there. My name's David.
Thor Brooks.
Thor, good to meet you. Okay.
Betty.
Appreciated your prayer.
Thanks for the lessons today.
Thank you.
My name is Sarah Brooks.
Sarah, okay.
So that was my uncle that you just...
Your uncle, all right.
This is my grandma.
Trying to put it all together.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I told you, I'm chewed in there, Carl.
Right. Now, you
she's
came...
My grandma.
You came from
Washington.
The Northwest, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been 2.5 years now.
Okay.
We're old in more ways than one now. We do love him so much.
Well, I'm sure they're glad to have you here.
Not only a good priest, he's just a good man.
Yeah, yeah, yep. He is.
Talk behind us.
Well, listen, appreciate it.
Appreciate it. TJ number one.
Correct.
If I don't
really the rivalry is flared up already this morning.
I kind of agree with this one, though. He does have seniority. He's been here long.
Sister Mons?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Is your family going to join you?
Probably not.
It's just too hard.
Yeah. The timing had been a little different, maybe, but there's so many things going on, you know.
You talked to Stephen and Julie, they're all
I know.
Over the place.
Yeah, that's how it is. So.
To me, the activities.
Yeah.
Okay. I enjoy your lessons.
Thank you.
Did you get to meet Paul Price?
Yes. Yeah, I just did.
Good.
So
he's a good man, but he had been out of duty for 23 years.
Oh, okay.
And he was telling me this morning, he says, I'm ashamed that I have. He was a trucker.
Uh-huh.
He is a trucker, but he would take feels distanced.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find it easier just a little by little left the church.
Yeah.
You know, and he was baptized, he said, in 97, 98.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I wanted the money.
Right,
I wanted
right,
the cars.
I wanted
retirement and all that. And he says, oh, I did. He has a good heart in that sense. But it was so Stephen, but why hasn't he placed membership?
But he's restored to the Lord, but
yes.
But he hasn't committed himself to the work here.
Exactly.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Should have led Psalms 19. I guess. The one I should have led right there. Good job. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Lying County wanted.
I know. I looked at it like that and I said, this is a good story, Andy.
Appreciate the lesson. Thank you.
You know, 20 years from now,
appreciate it.
Athens, Georgia.
Yep.
The shooting is recently, right?
All over the news. Yeah, and that's something. Terrible. Yeah, one of the students at the university. Yeah. Hi. What's your name?
Jacob.
It's good to meet you, Jacob. How old are you? That I was gonna guess right in that range. I've got a daughter who's turning 11 next month.
My birthday was her first day of school. So that was interesting.
That's not a good day to have your birthday.
I mean, to be fair, I got to bring a donut to my first day of school.
Hello there.
GM bought this simulator. So I'm curious if you know. So you'd be here like working on a Chevy or anything. Oh, no, I've never worked here.
You see, when you're up in the pulpit and the doors are open and there's a highway right there, you want to have this guy sitting in the back of the other car. Just in case.
There's a couple of several.
Position him close to the door.
And that one they put
TJ number two.
But they give you like that much room between the frame and the engine to get it out. So unhooking it's like easy. It's just getting it out. I had to like have it. Like a Volkswagen, you just pull the engine out.
Oh, okay. Good. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Good being with you.
Good to hear you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Good lesson this morning.
Thank you.
Jeff Lanning.
Jeff?
Yeah.
David, good to meet you. Now, are you the one that's taking off?
Yeah, we're taking off. We're going to try to hike the Appalachian Trail. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it'll be an adventure.
So where do you start?
Springer Mountain, Georgia.
Okay.
So up there near LJ and Delonica, up in that area.
Right.
So we'll start there and then head north.
Okay.
Try to make it to Maine.
Be safe.
Wow, all the way. The whole thing.
That's the plan.
Ooh.
We'll see what happens. We may be back in a week. Who knows?
I wouldn't make it that long. Brandy Higdon.
Hopefully that
David Dane, good to meet you.
Safe.
We'll
I can't recall at what stage this one was when you were here before, whether it was spring, summer, or fall.
Yeah.
But he was born in August of that year.
I was here in July of 2012.
So he was not born.
Not quite.
Right before.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's hard to believe, man.
We'll see. We were all sitting around talking.
I mean, you know, I was in. I probably visited other times in between, but yeah, since that meeting.
I guess I must have been in West Main, and then also Hebron Lane.
In Hebron Lane, yeah.
So we kept seeing each other.
Right, right, yeah, yeah. So it doesn't feel like.
Yeah,
that's right. We were all sitting around talking at Marie's party the other night, and I said, he's been here before." They're like, half the people at the table. Not since I've been here, and I'm like.
When you start looking around, I start telling Julia, I was like, there's us, there's you, the Nelsons,
and
the Pedigos, that they're pretty much from 20 years ago.
They got their food.
And everybody else is
going to. Well, see, I asked Charlotte, because I knew he had stayed with Charlotte, and I said, well, right? How long has it been since he was here? And she goes, it was 2012, and I'm like, what?
Doesn't make sense, does it?
It seems like it was sooner or more recent than that.
It does. Yeah,
that's what I was saying. It just gets away.
You still look good, though, man. Clean shaven, skinny. that'll do it to you, won't it?
Yeah.
Cleaner shaven than you.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I don't do the razor on the top. That's razor right there.
Electric.
That's electric, really, up there?
I'm afraid I'll split my coconut open if I do it the other way.
I figured it wasn't electric. I don't think you can get electric. That's short. Close. Wow.
Denise. Hi, Denise Lancaster.
David
nice to
Dan.
Meet you.
It's nice to meet you, Denise.
Did your wedding go all right last week?
It did, yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Nice picture.
Oh, yeah.
Someone had said, I haven't seen the picture, so I hope it's all right, you know? But yeah, it was beautiful out there. It was sunny, but it was just windy. It was like kind of cold wind, you know?
I think Justin said sharp was his.
Oh, did he make a little comment on there? Well, I'll have to take a look at it, you know? Yeah, it was a beautiful place, venue, all that, you know? So,
yeah. Pretty
doing good.
Okay. Oh, so it was outside.
Except the mic was cutting out.
Oh,
so yeah, yeah, we tested it, everything was fine, and then during the lesson, I was like, and so Josh McKibben went back to the sound guy, like, just cut it off, we can hear him just fine, just cut it off. So I didn't, because I wasn't sure if they could hear me, I was just speaking as loud as I could, because all outdoors, you know, and you're like, your voice doesn't bounce off any walls, so.
What size group was it? Would you guess?
I guess like 200 or 150, something like that. You know, that would be my guess. Yeah, that would be my guess. Because, I mean, there was definitely, it took a while for people to get their dinners. I think it probably was about the 150, 200 range.
Do they make the preacher go last?
No, just call out random numbers to the table numbers. You'd be like, table number 12. Table number 6. You know, they just do it at random, you know?
Oh,
I got
too
much in my pockets.
Let's go ahead and add that blank slide for tonight. Do you know which one you're doing for tonight?
Well,
there's a no chart slide.
No, there's charts. I just
haven't decided.
You know, normally I would, but then you told me the other day, you're like, you know, if you want to change something up last minute, and you put that in my head. And now.
Hold on, we'll just wait.
You know what? We can go ahead and put it on both of them.
All right, there you go.
Just in case.
Yeah, go for it.
And then we're ready to go. Don't
tell anybody. We saw TJ pull out his nerve in the Lord's.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He used to never do that. I mean, it's like God implanted this in us to naturally remind us, like, you are changing whether you don't think so or not, you know?
It just falls off a cliff all of a sudden.
It is the weirdest thing. It kind of comes and you're like, I guess I didn't notice it until Julia's pointed out more. Of course, then you read a little more in the Bible and you're like, oh, it's a little blurrier, you know? It was just weird.
Yep.
Your first thoughts is just like, oh, I kind of have an off day. And then you start to realize, no, it's more than that.
Yeah, it's not going away.
Yeah. So you don't wear corrective lenses for anything, distance or...
No, it's just the reading fine print type stuff.
Gotcha.
I mean, I wear these a lot because they like block the blue light.
Yeah.
So when I'm on the computer, then, you know, so I always have them on if I'm on my phone. Yeah. Is that supposed to help? Man, this thing is hard to get it in the right spot. There we go. Okay, get that one. And just in case.
I thought you might follow it up with, now what have you done wrong?
It's a nice lesson, yeah.
Like, oh no. Your seats, everybody, here comes the bomb murder. Your sins will find you out.
I'm going to tell you all the different things you have done wrong personally. Yeah, I got with Steve this afternoon. He gave me a list.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All right, I put it on both of them just.
All right, just I'll in take case. This home and charge her up.
Will this stay in a lockup, or do you have a key?
We're heading out right now, but okay, you're welcome to go. Though. You're welcome.
That's fine.
To go.
That's fine.
I do have a key.
You go ahead, because I'm going.
Oh, I didn't have.
Can you write
I didn't.
Charlotte?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't turn this off.
It will turn off by itself eventually.
It will?
Oh, I see you're still recording.
Huh?
So, it's still on hold. That was that one step.